Hey guys, so today on the podcast with Devaney, we have a very special guest, but real quick, Devaney, how you doing?
I'm great.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've done one of these.
It has been. It's been a bit of a time.
So who do we have with us today?
We have Aradhana Oliphant from Leadership Pittsburgh with us today on our show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming.
It's been super fun thus far.
So how was the traffic getting in today?
Oh gosh, the same thing, right? I was on a phone call and the traffic was bad, but I made it here.
Yeah,
like,
fantastic.
Like 2 minutes before my appointed time, but I was here.
So is being on time a hard thing for you ladies when it comes to business and, you know, meetings and all that kind of stuff? Or
well, so
I know this is like a dangerous question to throw out there, but let's go ahead and dive right in.
So I used to really pride myself on being on time before I was supposed to be there 10, 15 minutes early. And I noticed the last couple years, I try to squeeze out every minute possible before I leave to go somewhere. And I've been finding I'm 7 to 10 minutes late a lot. And I've been working on that. I'm trying to plan a little bit better and, you know, get back to where I used to be. But I will say, as demand rises, right, some things, I just try to conquer the world, you know, before I have to go somewhere else.
So I just heard that you're like 8 minutes more in demand than you're prepared for. Is that what I'm hearing?
Listen, some people want their 15 minutes. I have 8.
And I'm always on time, so I must not be in demand at all. That must be what's going on.
You know, I would like to say that I'm minus demand, but no, I'm at zero demand too for work.
Yeah.
So at our sessions, Leadership Pittsburgh, Inc., all of our sessions, we start on time. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter. I mean, literally, we are watching the clock. If it says 8 o'clock, we start at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We start on time. Don't invite me to dinner at your house.
Different story.
Completely different story. It's like 8:28, maybe 9:15. You know, then I go into that Indian Standard Time that mm-hmm. some people talk about. You do international business, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, and I'm okay with that because I love appetizers and conversation and a glass or two of wine. So that would be fantastic if you come over and you're a little late, you know. I just might be a little saucy.
All right, on that note, we're going to switch topics.
When are we coming? When am I getting invited? And what am I getting served? Some great nutritional bars? Maybe?
No, well, actually, brownies? You know, in my past life, I was a chef. I used to work at the Decane Club downtown underneath a great chef there. And then I took my skill set and became a fishmonger and a butcher over at Whole Foods Market and kind of did my thing there. So I love food. I grew up Italian. You know, my gram taught me the ropes, and you know, I'm pretty good.
So for vegetarians, I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, I can definitely do vegetarian.
Okay, good, then. That's
fine. Absolutely.
I'm coming. I might even be on time.
I think Devaney was the person to first launch vegan protein in the market.
We may have, yes.
Right,
yes.
I don't think there was anyone else.
Mm-mm. Nope. Yeah, first plant-based protein. And you know, and we're working on a little secret type of product for plant-based.
I have no idea what she's talking about.
Nah, I can't leak it out just yet.
Oh, no.
Will I get a sample?
Possibly.
Okay, mm-hmm. If I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait, let's talk about cooking for a second. You haven't had Devaney's cooking yet, right? But it is phenomenal. And I didn't even know this until we started having like team building activities mm-hmm. here at SDC, where like Devaney would just like roll out, I want to say like a full catering like buffet mm-hmm. of food. And then she, at the end of the buffet line, she's out. She's over there flipping pancakes for everyone, like fresh, like as if it was like an Indian wedding almost, right? Wow, you know how like yes. there's like stations, uh-huh. right? She was just like literally everything you could dream of.
A one woman show.
It was wild. I mean, how often do you do those types of events here?
So we usually do them a few times a year. You know, the last couple of years, it's been more about twice a year. I used to try to do them every quarter. So Aradhana, you know, some of the team building things that we do here, I solely cook for all of our staff. And so our staff over the years has ranged anywhere from 85 employees to about 125. And it's how I give back. Right. I don't mm-hmm. get to personally see everybody every day and thank them for all of their hard work and all the things. So we have a night crew that I don't see a lot. Mm-hmm. I do more now than I used to. But, you know, I have a skill set that many of them don't get to enjoy. Uh-huh. And so a few times a year, I'll either take our products and make all kinds of things out of them, or I try to incorporate our products somehow, some way, or having a healthy event around it. You know, one time we did smoothies, one time we did waffles and ice cream, and, you know, all the things, you know, and it's a catered meal, and it's, mm-hmm. and it's put on by me. You know, I have someone here who will help me kind of prep up the room and whatnot, but I want everyone to enjoy the moment and be able to enjoy the meal. And so, you know, I'm pretty good at being organized mm-hmm. when it comes to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to do that entire catering by myself. And so I literally serve everybody. I make them fresh pancakes. I kind of do all the things and have that one-on-one communication mm-hmm. at that moment. Mm-hmm. So to me, to be able to give them that personal touch mm-hmm. from me, like that's my leadership style. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I want to be remembered for is mm-hmm. I want my staff to know that I'm down to earth. They can come to me with anything or everything. I talk about their kids, their family, and I'm there holding that conversation with them. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
what do you get out of that?
Oh, pure joy. That's me, pure joy. Mm-hmm. So even when I used to cook for people, or when you come to my house, I don't want to sit and enjoy the meal mm-hmm. with you. It thrills me to serve you and talk and have a conversation while I'm working and to have you truly enjoy the food and to talk about the food, what I'm doing, how I'm preparing it, and so I can educate you on that while you're eating. That's the biggest thrill of my life.
I'm there as long as you let me do the dishes. I love to do dishes.
Oh, awesome.
I love, and I'm very good at them. Seriously.
Fantastic.
Next team building event, we don't even have to worry about cleaning up.
We don't have to worry about cleaning up. Absolutely.
I don't know if I can clean for 120 people, though. 80, maybe.
Okay, yeah. So you women are experts when it comes to having a community feeling kind of amongst your staff, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people out there that are in startup cultures, right? Especially women starting off their own businesses, even guys starting off their own businesses, that struggle with figuring out how to spend money on team building activities. Mm-hmm. I mean, taking them out of the office, that costs you money, right? Right. And then, you know, taking someone out to a happy hour, like a whole team event that's happening there, or bringing in a catered meal. I mean, how do you guys make those types of decisions for your companies, and what advice would you give people?
You know, here's the thing. Team building for what? You've got to have a purpose to every activity. And that's what I say to all the leaders who come through our program if they were to ask me a similar question. You've got to define a purpose for every activity that you engage with your team. So if the purpose is, as Devani was saying, that she wants to relate to her team members, then what she does is right. But her cooking is not serving the purpose of improving necessarily the communication of a group of, you know, two units who are not communicating with each other. So you've got to define the purpose and then build the activity for that. So if you are taking people to a happy hour, you're getting them socialized with each other, you're getting them comfortable with each other. When you say team building generally involves, in the classic leadership literature, it involves some people together doing something. So in my leadership geeky mm-hmm. definition of team building, what Devani described, she would be having Ankur, you chop, and Michael do, you know, mix the ingredients, mm-hmm. and then someone else clean up. That becomes team building.
Mike's a very good mixer. I can vouch for him. Just give him a bowl and a big old wooden spoon.
So it all, everything in business and in life should walk backwards from purpose.
I mean, I think that's a great way of looking at it, right? I guess I never thought about that that way either when it comes to team building activities.
Absolutely. You're right. It's a really, really good concept. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, sometimes it costs money to take people out. I think you know, there's a lot of things that if you involve your community or you tie back your community in, there's so many things that you can do that maybe don't cost money. For example, I think we spoke a little bit earlier about some of the things I did in my past. When I worked for Whole Foods Market, mm-hmm. we used to go out into the streets of East Liberty and clean up the streets.
Absolutely.
We would take shopping carts and we would provide the garbage bags and gloves and things for the staff who wanted to volunteer and come. And we would walk the streets for 2, 3, 4 hours and literally pick up all the trash, all the garbage, anything that we found that wasn't supposed to be there, mm-hmm. and really bring that value back to our community and own that community.
So. And in our region, there are so many organizations. If you think about your own industry, then Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank mm-hmm. has beautiful volunteer days that you have to do nothing. You can go there, you can help, you can mm-hmm. build a team and all of that. There is an organization called the Pittsburgh Cares where they have an online calendar that any organization, any business can go on, sign up, ones and twos and longer term. There is another great organization called Mission Continues. It's all related to veterans, military veterans, mm-hmm. and they go into communities and they do cleanups and they do rebuilding together types of projects. So opportunities are to give back and to get connected with each other and with the community there are lots of them. To go back to your original question, Ankur, in leadership theory and leadership practice, what you do doesn't matter quite as much as why you're doing it. If you start with the what, you're going to end up with something. If you start with the why, you will end up with where you're wanting to go.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Now, when it comes to building a team, mm-hmm. right, I think that some people will put it out in the forefront of what their corporate culture is, mm-hmm. right? Hey, you know, we do these activities with the whole team. We, have health benefits, mm-hmm. so on and so forth, right? But I feel like a lot of corporate culture, at least nowadays, is very mundane and boring. Now, obviously not for you two ladies, right? Because everything you guys are talking about sounds awesome, right?
But we cook, we clean, we have fun. Come on now.
But there's so many people that, like, you know, let's say that you're running an app, right? Your tech team is probably just sitting there coding all day. Mm-hmm. So how do you, like, find a way to make the office experience better? Is it just in, like, the amenities that you offer people in the offices? Is it the benefits? I mean, do you let people work from home? I mean, how do you make those types of decisions?
So there are, once again, you cannot have, in my opinion, blanket solutions. Ask the people. If you're familiar with human-centered design, ask the humans. What will get them more excited? Would foosball get them more excited? Would having beer available at 2 o'clock every day or just on Fridays at 3 o'clock make it?
Devaney, we need a ping pong table in the front of the building.
You know, we used to have at 5 o'clock on Fridays, we used to drink beer together.
Team bonding.
Wait, why did this stop?
It was team bonding.
We're going to have to bring this up.
Team bonding, for sure.
But ask. I mean, things like benefits, I don't consider them team building. I don't consider them culture. I think they're mandatory. Any employer who wants to really take care of his or her employees and says that they care, those should be given.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I guess what I'm talking about is more fringe benefits. Like the things
like the beard, you know, at 5 o'clock?
Yeah, and like the free pens and the shirts and the uniforms and stuff like that. Right.
I think it comes down to what your industry is as well.
Yes.
The techie types, they're different. They're creatives. You know, they need different stimuli, right, than other people. And I think everyone's a little different, so you do have to have that communication, and that comes down to time, right? You have to speak mm-hmm. with your employees and mm-hmm. get to know them, and and then allocate that time and say, listen, I heard you, and this is what we're implementing, and you've got to be able to pivot a little bit and be able to feed their needs, especially mm-hmm. when it gets to that high and maybe it fizzles out and mm-hmm. well, what's next? And mm-hmm. I think you just need to really feed into what demographic or what type of individual you're really gearing towards.
Culture of care is a standard. How you exhibit that care can be different.
Devaney, I have so many comments about this 5 p.m. beer thing on Friday. I'm still in shock.
I'm so sorry, Devin. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have brought this up. hey, I would be arguing for 3 p.m.
Listen, right now, you're dangling a carrot. So far, closest to my face. There's so many choices. But okay, one last question about team building. Okay, so sure. When you're recruiting, right, I feel like some people always ask the simple question of, like, I mean, are you guys promoting from within? Are you the organization? Are you building people? And I know there's one question, like, where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years that most employers or interviewers will ask? And I feel like there's only one right answer. It's like, I'll be here working for you, slaving away 5 or 10 years later, hopefully moved on up one or two positions. And I mean, I'm just curious to hear your opinions on how vocal you are about promoting from within. I mean, do you guys have any success stories of someone that has kind of gone up the ranks with you over time? And if you don't promote from within, then, like, what's the reason for not doing so?
Well, so I love promoting from within. I think when you have your staff that starts at the bottom ranks and they really grow with your business and understand how all facets of your business work, they have a better understanding of the wheels turning and are able to relay to other staff. They're able to pinpoint problems and address things when they need to be, and especially as business changes, they have a better understanding. I'm not a big proponent of college, right? So let me just get that out there. I love trade school, but I'm not a big proponent of college. So I think when you're able to give someone free skill sets and free education by teaching them and empowering them to use what they have inside them at no cost, it's an amazing thing. To empower someone to become smarter, more skillful, and educated, and they don't have to sit into a classroom and to not understand half of what's going on, or to worry about how am I going to pay my bills but still get educated and do all these things, when a lot of times they have to have a little bit of money in the bank to be able to further their education. I think that's something that you empower that person and you teach that person to take with them no matter what job they're at, because I don't agree with your answer about the only one answer. I'm that person who would tell the employer exactly where I felt I would go in 5 years, and it may not be with them. I think people need to kind of get out of that box and be comfortable in knowing what they want and really understanding and owning what they want for their lives. I believe everything's a stepping stone, right? And that stepping stone's going to bring you to that next level. And that next level, you may be with that company and you may be surprised and say, hey, I never thought I would grow to become the president of this company. I never wanted to be a president. I didn't even think a CEO role would be what I ever dreamed of, and they do it. But I love teaching people from within. They're growing within our staff. I mean, we have a few people here that have been with us from the beginning. Pete Lawson, for example. He started off in production and was a production worker. He worked his way up, and he now manages $3.25 million of inventory. He orders all of our raw materials, he procures all of our bottles and lids and scoops and everything. And you've got this one man who manages the most important part of our business. He's not the CEO, he's not me, but he manages, like, the most important part of our business. And he started off in production. I love that.
Says a lot about him and says a lot about your leadership, yours and Sean's leadership. So I have a couple of thoughts going through my head, and I just want to put those pointers out, and then I'll connect them back to your question of promoting from within, growing from within. So it depends also on the size of the company, whether you can support the growth, like Devaney's company, your company has, can you support the growth to the potential of that person and the aspirations of that person? So assuming similar levels of opportunity in our region, in the Pittsburgh region, there's a projected gap of 80,000 jobs over the next 10 years, when you take the number of people who are retiring, the baby boomer generation, and even with all the colleges and universities that we have here and the young people going through those, they will still be, and this is before many of the newer industries were coming on onto play. There's a research report by the Allegheny Conference called The Inflection Point, and that shows that there are going to be 80,000 jobs available in our region. Having said that, there is no way that our region can fill those jobs without reskilling, upskilling, promoting from within, just for survival. Even when AI comes on, it will not take away in the next 10 years those many job opportunities. And the war nationally is on talent. There was a report, I think it was Forbes, that about 65 to 70% of the CEOs of any size company, what they wake up with is talent shortfall. That's what their biggest, and in my personal conversations with CEOs around the region, that's what they're talking about. How are they going to fill the talent shortfall? And then there was a McKinsey report about a year ago or something, which says that your superior performer is 800% more productive than your average performer. Then there's a third report which talks about globally about 85% of the people are only marginally engaged in the in their work. So putting all those data points and what I hear from people, from CEOs, and even Devani, if you think about it, you want to promote the talented person on the team. You would much rather work with someone who gets your culture, who gets your inspiration, who gets what you want this company to be about, than have to go and hire someone who may flake out in 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely.
So all forces, demographic, business, personal, are pointing towards a culture of promoting from within. It's survival for businesses. It's not even for the employee. It's much more for the employer if you look at trends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those are some crazy stats to be concerned with, right, as a business owner in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be the end result? Are people going to... Okay, so I remember reading something where the city of Pittsburgh is growing at a rate of, I think, 14% year over year with people between the ages of 20 to 30, right? So I think the greater Pittsburgh population is, what, 700,000 people? So we're talking about what?
It's upwards of 1.some million. Yeah.
Okay, right. The so we're talking about like 100,000 plus people moving here, right, year over year, which is a crazy growth spurt, right? And that's why you're seeing so many complexes that are getting built nonstop. All the different gentrification that I've been seeing in town. But do you think it's going to be enough?
No. The data is saying that it's not enough. People are moving into cities globally, right? I mean, what did they say? By 2050, most of the world's population, by a margin, is going to be living in cities. What about everyone wants to be closer to the city? That's why you see Google being downtown. You were seeing when Amazon was looking to come to Pittsburgh, they were looking at more close to the city centers. That's where young people want to work. And don't forget that people die. Don't forget that people are retiring. And our region is still one of the oldest regions in the country. So, and many of the young people who come to to study at our universities may not even have visas to stay here. We have crazy visa policies in this country. So we educate those young people and say, we're going to send them away. We're going to send them back. And the talent goes away. Whereas the high, again, studies after studies prove that the highest rate of entrepreneurship comes from immigrants. Not to say that we in our country are not capable of creating companies. Devani is a great example. But when you look at those trends, you have to worry. Sorry to be... You know, my husband says that even on a Friday night, you know, when Aradhana has had her third glass of wine because she starts talking policy. So this is the, you know, I'm only nice when I'm not serious.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, I'm pretty depressing.
Okay, well, let's talk about something that's not depressing at all, right? Let's talk about the community and getting involved in the community as a company.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's something that you're kind of like known for, right? All the community involvement and the different groups and actions you guys do. And Devaney, you've been kind of known for literally like saving people's lives, right, with your products.
Sure.
And I mean, I guess one, I think people need to hear your stories, right, about, you know, things that you guys have done. And two, how do you, the other people that are entrepreneurs kind of jump into that world? And like, I know I get it, right? You just find one of these places that has like a website with an online calendar and you just sign up and you start showing up. But how do you essentially kind of create a partnership with an organization where you're kind of co-branding your efforts and what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. Ankur, are you looking at me or are you getting Devaney to start?
I'll answer. So I think any kind of involvement that you do, you have a purpose around it, right? And you know what that purpose for that event is. When that happens, before you can build that relationship with a volunteer company or whatnot, I think, you know, you have to test and trial that, and then you say, does this really fit within my model, right, of what I believe in? Are we on the same page? You know, do they suit my personality and my business? And you go deeper and deeper into developing that relationship. You know, I've done so many things over the years. One of my most memorable events that I did was for the Pittsburgh Food Bank. I took a team there and we scooped cereal for hours. Mm-hmm. They just had big, watermelon boxes filled with bulk cereal. And for 4.5 hours, my staff and I, we scooped cereal into these plastic bags and twist tied them and got them ready for the food banks. And then they took us on a tour and they told us all the things that they do other than just the food bank and whatnot and the Meals on Wheels and all the other things that they do. And it was an amazing experience. That team building activity did exactly what my goal was to bring the team together to do something completely abstract from what we do at work and to really just give back and do something for others and feel good about it. And it was just an amazing experience. So, you know, but with that, you know, to do these for your company, I don't think it's hard to find, right? There's so many organizations that you can donate products to for them to help raise money for a really good cause, mm-hmm. something that you might believe in or, you know, something that you might want to help fund or donate to. You know, we donate products a lot of times to gyms to build small entrepreneurial businesses to help them bring in new clientele to grow their business because eventually they become customers of ours and, mm-hmm. and eventually it helps us. But being that partner mm-hmm. and helping them get to reach their goals, it's a great thing to do. Being at events all throughout the city, you know, down in Market Square, they do so many things throughout the years that we've been a part of. You know, they used to have years ago, we used to have like this whole grocery set down in Market Square, and I forget what it was called, but we would go there and we would literally set up a market and sell products. And it was amazing. You get to see everyone come out at lunch and you get to solicit your product at no cost. People came there and purchased. And it was almost like a farmer's market of where they're buying whatever all of these companies were selling. And it was free advertising. But yet the company who put all of this together, you know, they got the advertising for it. Their whole purpose was to bring nutrition and education to the employees and individuals and people who were in our downtown to help them understand better and to have some healthier nutrition and healthier education into their lives. And I think it's really, really simple to find avenues that might not be directly correlated with your industry, but abstractly correlated with your industry. So
as a region, I would say that every business has a vested interest in connecting with community. If you look at some of the programs that Leadership Pittsburgh Inc. offers, like our program for senior level leaders, like the chief of police is in this year's class, for example, or an SVP or an EVP at a bank, those kinds of folks, they are already established in their careers. It is it's an obligation of their leadership to connect with the community, not just to do volunteer work, which is really important. Lisa Scales runs a great agency. Mm-hmm. She's a graduate of Leadership Pittsburgh, the Greater Pittsburgh Community mm-hmm. Food Bank CEO. Not just for volunteering, but to serve on boards, for example, to get to know the organization, to give off your intellectual capital and your personal capital and the resources that your company might give. So those are the kinds of things that our programs, our senior leaders program has, for example, about 60 people from all different companies. They get to know the community, and then so that they can decide how they want to invest their intellectual resources in a company's mission, which could include getting their employees to do volunteer work as well. Entrepreneurial companies have especially the entrepreneurs themselves, have a greater challenge in terms of really having a long-term relationship with the community as they're building their companies, because time is so limited. So that's a challenge. That's why we do not find, even in our long-standing programs, I would love for someone like a Devani to participate in our senior leaders program, but when she's working 100 hours a week.
Oh, I used to, not anymore.
Well, then maybe you can. but
what a sales pitch. Okay.
But entrepreneurs themselves, while they're building their companies, mm-hmm. like for the first 5, 6, 7 years, it's really difficult for them to find time to do anything but do their business and their family. Beyond that, then they can get involved. I always come back to the why. What's the purpose of the involvement? And then deciding what matters. As Devani said, it's not difficult to find, but a good partner takes time.
Yes.
Partnership takes time.
Yeah, agreed. I think a lot of people forget that depending on what industry you're in, there's going to be a certain group of opportunities that fit that that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the supplement industry, there's a lot of people that will be creating opportunities to provide vitamins and nutrition to people in third world countries, right? There's a whole organization called Vitamin Angels that mm-hmm. does this phenomenal program.
Oh, really?
Right, where they take essentially anything from manufacturers, brands that they'll be willing to donate, and they literally have like these massive projects and like events where they're giving these out to third world countries so that the kids can get nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if people don't know what those organizations are, I mean, is there like a hub to go get that information? I know there's like chambers of commerce that you can go talk to. I mean, anyone in Pittsburgh now can look you up, right? And just find out whatever they need to find out about these organizations.
Yeah, I mean, we know the beauty of, the joy that I get from my work is I have a little information about anything you want in this region. You want to know about arts, you want to know about infrastructure, you want to know about entrepreneurship, you want to get data. I know it all, just a little bit. But then we would know whom to connect you to. There is an organization called the Greater Pittsburgh Nonprofit Partnership, GPNP. It's a part of the Forbes Funds. One of our graduates is the CEO of the Forbes Funds. You can look them up. They have lots of organizations listed. But let's say, Ankur, it is you or someone else. I mean, we can talk offline, and there are lots of deserving, worthy organizations, including people who collect medical supplies, to send to the developing countries, or I'm sure, I mean, one of their CEOs is a graduate of our program. And so there's lots of opportunity to connect.
Yeah.
Okay. I know there's one big announcement that we have to make before we end the episode.
Sure.
So we're actually going to end the current season of the podcast by Devaney with this episode.
This
is the season finale.
Oh.
And we're rebranding with the new season, and we're naming the podcast Women in Business.
Oh, nice.
I mean, we've been fortunate to have some phenomenal guests throughout the season. And, I mean, we just like to get some feedback. I mean, I feel like there's not enough podcasts like that where we're, you know, honoring women, especially here in Pittsburgh, that have really done great things. And I'm sure you have plenty of people that you might want to send on by.
Absolutely.
And, bring them all down. More the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, I guess the whole purpose behind this is to really educate people in general, mostly women, to say a little bit of sweat. You can achieve the goals and the dreams that you have.
Uh-huh.
I like to give them as many resources as they can and to bring bouts of business to their forefront of really understanding what it takes. You know, I think there's so much information out there that is false, and people think that they can work 15 hours a week and have a six-figure job and the quality of life, and none of that's true.
I would agree. And you don't have to be an entrepreneur to know that.
Right.
Success does require sacrifices.
It does. And those sacrifices, I will always say, are long-term sacrifices. And the long-term sacrifices are what will make or break you into understanding if you can be as successful as you want to be. So I think they're character building, and I think they are educating, and I think they will develop you into the type of leader that you may or may not have ever noticed that you would be or thought that you would be.
Yeah, it takes pain to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't grow without pain as a person, as a leader. Though there is something, you know, when we talk women, there used to be a phrase, work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years ago, I was on a panel, and someone asked about work-life balance, and I said, there is nothing like that. There's only work-life integration. So some months, some years, your family or your child, or if you have a spouse, that takes precedence. Mm-hmm. Some months, it's your business that takes precedence.
Yes.
And there are, so in the long run, but to be sustainable as a leader, you have to have some level of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot run ragged for 30 years and think that everything will be successful. It just cannot be.
No, it's not a sustainable lifestyle. No. As we spoke a little bit, you know, the first 5-6 years, you know, we were really doing everything, and, you know, our business grew so rapidly. We doubled year after year after year. And I mean, we were just on the trajectory, and it was exciting. It was exhausting, and everything in between. And you know, and you eventually you get to that place, and it's, you don't even realize you're working 100 hours a week.
Yeah.
And, but being able to sit back for a minute and say, I have to fix this. Mm-hmm. And here's my game plan of how I'm going to, mm-hmm, fix this. Mm-hmm. And you set those goals, and you have to try to achieve those goals. And, mm-hmm, you have to hold yourself accountable, just, mm-hmm, like you hold your employees accountable, or your vendors, or anyone in between, or your kids. But there are a lot of long-term sacrifices.
Yes.
To build a business, or to build a large business.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, it's exciting. I mean, we started out, I told you, we started this business with $500, and we do close to $30 million a year.
Amazing.
And, you know, they say a lot of times, you know, businesses, you can get to that $2 to $5, mm-hmm, million dollar mark.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people hover around that, right?
Yeah.
They might get a nice paycheck, and, you know, they can take care of their families, and they can work 40 hours a week at that level.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have some staff, and everybody delegates, and everybody has that quality of life and the work-life balance. But if you go to that next stage, how much elbow grease do you have to put in to get to that $15 million? Mm-hmm. And then what do you got to do to go from 15 to 30, yes, right? And
watermelon-sized boxes. That's how much elbow grease you need.
That was just the coolest experience of my life. I'm telling you, it was so great. That you want to talk about something that really just fills your heart and brings an awesome experience to everyone around you. Not one person left that day angry or upset that they spent their time and wasted it with me or anything. It was just an amazing experience.
Though I can't imagine anyone hanging around you and thinking that they're wasted. I mean, I've just enjoyed getting to know you. I mean,
yes,
Ankur had to come and fetch us. we were in such fun conversation.
It's been great. It really has been great.
Well, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you. And this is the end of the episode. So. Yeah. We'll catch you guys next season.
We'll see you next season.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.